Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at the right hand and the other at the left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, John, for that reading. I'm Janet, and I'm a member of the congregation here at St. John's. And occasionally I find myself up here speaking to people. It's quite scary being up here, especially today when there are so many of you. So I hope you'll bear with me if I stumble and stutter my way through this. But these are words that God's put on my heart this week, so I just pray that it's his word you hear through me. Amen. That reading finished with the words, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." So let's think about that story we've heard this morning. Jesus and his followers were on their way to Jerusalem. What a journey it must have been, feeding the 5,000 on loaves and a couple of fish, healing the sick, restoring sight and hearing, even giving back life to a little girl. Remarkable times, unexplained events, beyond belief. But they had seen it all, and after all, seeing is believing, or so they say. The fact that Jesus had asked 12 men to give up everything that they had and follow him in the first place seems for us very hard to believe. Can any of us imagine giving up all our possessions, our family, our friends, and following somebody who we don't really know? Somebody who seems to really upset all the people in authority around him. A bit of a maverick. Then he tells them that when he gets to Jerusalem, it's not going to be what they expect at all. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to suffer, and he's going to be killed. Well, would you want to make that journey with him? Would you really want to be in on all that? Then he says he's going to rise from the dead. It does sound incredulous, but James and John are up for it. In fact, they're so up for it that they want to sit on either side of him after he's received glory. And Jesus warns them, "It's not going to be easy for you. You'll have to suffer too if you want to follow me all the way." He's quite worried that they don't really understand. A bit like children, they know that the end result will be good, but they don't know what the journey will hold for them or how long it will take. They think it's all about the final destination and how good that will be. You often hear children saying, "Are we nearly there yet?" And I can imagine that they were a bit the same. Jesus says to them, "Well, even when you do go all the way, I can't tell you where you'll actually be sitting. That's not up to me. That's up to my dad, my father. Yes, if you follow me, you will get there, but there are no guarantees about the seating arrangements." Do you think they were having second thoughts? He then goes on. "You know, this journey isn't an easy ride. Just like me, you'll have to work for that final destination. There are no self-service stops on the way. No, you have to help out. You've got to do the serving. You've to look out for others and help them along the way. You've got to humble yourself. You've to get your hands dirty changing the tires. You've got to run off and get more petrol. It could be a very bumpy ride. But you keep your eyes fixed on me, follow in my footsteps, and I can promise that at the end, you'll be there with me." And I think really that's a bit like being a parent. When you're a parent, you've got lots of serving to do. Let's think about some of the things that you've got to give up. Sleep. I'm sure as a parent, you know what it's like. And if you think the sleepless nights are bad when they're little, well, you've got lots more of those. Waiting for them to come home late at night, worrying about their first day at school, their last day at school, their exams. It goes on and on. In fact, it never stops. Sleep deprivation, but it's worth it. Quiet life. Just think about that. Doing what you want when you want. It's not quite as easy, is it, when you've got a little one? But it's worth it. What about your social life? You'll be used to going out where you want, when you want, for as long as you want. You'll be able to eat when you want, where you want, when you want. Wait till the children start. "I'm hungry. I want to go home. I'm tired. I don't want to go." But it's worth it. Money. Children eat you out of house and home. And if you've got a 14 to 18-year-old boy, my goodness, that fridge will always be empty. You don't know where it all goes. They really do have hollow legs. Then let's think about clothes. They want all the latest designer clothes from birth onwards. Toys, wet days out, education at home or away from home, and then guess what? They come home again. But it's all worth it because you love those children. You want to see them grow up, move on with their lives. Yes, you're going to be doing a lot of serving, and I do promise you that it will be worth it. And you won't even think twice about it because of that love you have for your children. You would do anything for them, anything you possibly can. They are your family and you love them. Well, just as you love your children, so God loves us, his children. So much so that he sent Jesus to be with us, to die for us, and to take away our sins. He sent Jesus to serve us by dying for us. All that he asks of us in return is that we show God's love, that we serve others, so that we can reach the end of our journeys and know that we're going to reach that final destination, that there'll be a seat for us, and that it really doesn't matter which seat it is, as long as it's with him. Today, your children are taking an important step on their journey. You've chosen to bring them to church to be baptized. You're not on your own. Not only have you got your own family and friends, you've got all of us here in this church. We're your family in Baxenden, and we're here to support you and help you along that journey. We're here to serve you. As we serve each other, we serve our Father, and we thank him for sending his Son to serve us and for sending the Holy Spirit to help us. I pray that as a family, we will make that journey together, and that as we go along, we'll pick people up along the way, all serving God until we reach our final destination. Amen.